Hey everyone, we're at the owners' meetings in Orlando, Florida. We caught up with our friend Kevin Seifert, a national writer for ESPN. We snuck into the owners' meetings, Kevin, for the first time.
This is your first.
This is our first time.
Thank you. Feeling good so far? Going well?
Yeah, we're trying to blend in. Right. We don't blend in very well everywhere, but we're trying to do it here.
Sharp.
Thank
better,
you.
Better than me.
I can clean up every now and then. Any advice for us at our first owners' meetings?
Wear comfortable shoes. You're going to be standing a lot, and there'll be a whole lot of waiting for a little bit of access. But this is actually where a lot of the major decisions are made that'll affect the entire season and beyond. So it's a very important event to be at.
Yeah. Anything in particular that you're following? We know that you've been writing about a couple of things at ESPN that pertain to the league as a whole. So anything you're keeping your eye on?
Obviously the big thing from an on-field perspective is the catch rule, and it sounds as though they have agreed, and the competition committee has endorsed a new rule that is expressly intended to avoid the Dez Bryant, Calvin Johnson, Jesse James type controversies that will allow players the ball to move a little bit as they're going to the ground and still be a catch. So if nothing else, the NFL will avoid those situations. We will see if there's any unintended consequences to reducing the requirement to maintain control of the ball throughout the process of the catch. Yep. But I think most people will be very happy that will no longer be adjudicated on a weekly basis throughout the season.
Those who love defensive football will point out that scoring was down 2 points this year. So do they want to make a catch easier to attain?
I don't know if that's the intent. I think they want to just avoid the Monday morning debates and controversies, and really that play, only a handful each year, but a handful of plays that just when you watched it with your naked amateur eyes said, how could that not be a catch? Right. And so that's what they want to avoid. There will always be ways they can tweak rules and officiating points of emphasis to ensure that scoring stays where it is for people's fantasy teams and also for the entertainment value of the game. But I don't think that's a high priority right now for them.
When you look at the Vikings on the field, we haven't talked to you since the Vikings signed their quarterback, Kirk Cousins. What did you think about that?
I mean, they had a need at the position in terms of there not being anybody signed for next year, and they went out and got the best guy available. One of the great parts of the NFL and the salary cap is that you can always debate whether the highest paid player is the best player or if it's just the guy who was available at the right time at the right spot for the right team. And that's probably, the latter is probably where the Vikings are. But to say anything other than they have a better quarterback in place now than they did last year would be erroneous. I mean, they did. My last name is not Wilf, so the money is not coming out of my pocket. So that that part doesn't bother me, and whether it's guaranteed or not, or you have to put all that money into escrow or not, that's nobody's problem but the Wilfs, and they're happy to do it. And so that, to me, it was from a football perspective, they're better than they were.
Yeah. All right, good news. Last thing for Kevin. Kevin covers the league nationally, but you did cover the Vikings, so I want to ask you about two former Vikings. Randy Moss is going into the Hall of Fame. You covered him. And then Jim Marshall is one that a lot of fans want to see get into the Hall of Fame. Can you sort of reflect on both of their careers and what you remember about them?
Yeah, in terms of Randy Moss, I covered him from his second season till the end of his Vikings career, and then when he returned for the second time. And when you talk about Hall of Fame, you don't just talk about great players, but you talk about people who either were amongst the best players of their entire generation, which he was as a receiver, but also the guys that changed the game. And he, without question, is a receiver who changed the way defenses schemed against number one big receivers and the way teams drafted. We all know what the Packers drafted three cornerbacks after his rookie year, and big cornerbacks to try to match up against him. And when you alone, as one player, especially one who's not a quarterback, is making teams redesign defenses and change their draft plans, then that's the definition of a guy who changed the game. And so I don't think there's any doubt. Jim Marshall is an interesting guy. I didn't grow up in Minnesota. The one thing I knew about Jim Marshall growing up outside of Minnesota is that he ran the wrong way. And unfortunately, I think that's an unfortunate and totally unfair perception of him as a player because of one thing that happened. And then you come to realize as you learn more about Vikings history and you see the film that is available and you talk to people, like how dominant he was for so long. I mean, I covered, you talk in terms of his ability to stay on the field for year after year after year. I covered Cal Ripken. Consecutive games leader, covered Brett Favre, and then Jim Marshall. People forget, like, how many years in a row? I don't even can't even tell you, but you know how many it was. But like, the guy never was available all the time, and so I think he's been lost in the shuffle a little bit from a Hall of Fame perspective. But the good thing is there's other ways to get in, whether it's seniors committee or what have you, that to rectify those situations.
All right, thanks, Kevin. Great stuff. Kevin Seifert at Seifert ESPN. Go to ESPN.com and check out his work. And for more from us from the owners' meeting, stay tuned right here to Vikings.com.